Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome back to part three of the Stompcast. Abby and I are wandering away still. It is still not raining,
yeah.
Which is great news. You spotted a heron, didn't you?
I did.
There's a big old heron out there.
He's a bird watcher.
He's looking for his lunch. When you're out kind of having a walk and a stomp, do you like to kind of look up, see what's going on? Do you find it quite therapeutic?
Yeah, massively. I think we all know that being in nature is like good for our mental health, but I used to do it wrong. I used to like go for like a stomp around the park, and I'd be like listening to a podcast and like replying to
emails.
Don't
say that, because I want everyone to listen to the Stompcast.
Okay, no.
That's really fun. Don't listen to a podcast when you're walking unless it's the Stompcast, in which case it's totally
unless
fine.
It is good for your that is good for your mental health.
Which hopefully is good for mental health. Yeah.
But no, I would just be really disconnected from
I know
nature.
You mean, so you're like really like on it, like maybe doing your emails or whatever, and just not actually immersing.
That. And then I'd get back and be like, well, I don't feel any better for that. Yeah. But actually what I try and do now is just, you know, pay attention to my surroundings. Like it's like the quality of time in nature rather than the quantity. So like, you know, actually look at the trees or like listen to the bird song.
Jokes aside, if you're listening, make sure you do walk without this podcast on or any podcast. Turn this off. Have a break. That's why the parts are 30 minutes, is that the point is you can dip in, listen for a bit, switch it off, go and walk for a half an hour, give it a couple of days before you come back to the next part. You know, really do make use of the time in nature because it is incredibly healing, but you do actually need to immerse yourself. If you
That's
go
it.
In nature but you don't actually engage in what's around you. By engaging, I just mean being present.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have the full effects. Not to say you won't benefit. I mean, out walking and you're walking and you're in the nature, of course that's going to benefit anyway, but to maximise that calm, be as present as you can, isn't it?
Yeah, and also, you know, not everyone does have access to nature like this, like what we're walking through now, but it is interesting that it's like research has shown that we can be connected to nature in really urban environments, like even just like taking care of plants at home.
Yeah.
Or there's this interesting research that says like you can have technological nature, which can be good for our mental health. And that's literally just like watching nature documentaries or having a screensaver of a landscape. Like that can soothe our system as well as actually being
David
out
in nature. Attenborough has been soothing our souls
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have that in the box pops at the end, that's for sure. I love that. That's amazing. So in part three, we're going to talk about, what is reparenting and how do you start? But just before we go into that, I wondered if you could share a little bit about how you got into this. You know, you've got a lot of followers, you've got the book out and stuff, you know, you're a therapist, but life before therapy, I thought perhaps you could share with the listeners what brought you into this. How did you get here?
So before I was a therapist, I worked in publishing and media for like 15 years.
Yeah,
and I was at a creative agency for a long time, and I loved it, but while I was doing that, I started therapy myself, and I did that for many years and I found it completely life-changing. And by the end of it, I just thought, I really want to do this. I want to help other people in the way that I've been helped. And so, yeah, I had a complete career change.
This is quite a switch, isn't it, from working in media, in the media world to this.
Very
like,
much.
It's so different in so many different ways. Although, interestingly, I wonder what you think of this. There's a lot of mental health within the media space. I don't mean that actually necessarily negatively as well. I mean just, you know, whether it's TV or whatever, like you're always kind of thinking about, you know, whether it's on TV or radio or working people in digital media or marketing, you kind of got to think about people's mental health and how campaigns will be seen externally, what campaigns are kind of done. And in television, it's a big hot topic, isn't it, of course?
Yeah.
Mental health of contributors and stuff. We're starting to hail, everyone.
Oh, wow. We've had all four seasons
hailing,
today.
Yeah. It's hailing. I kind of love it though.
Does it?
Does it sound amazing? Oh, that's amazing. Should we stand on this for a moment? And I've got a train coming through as well. sensory, sensation.
Yeah, it's like white noise.
So what you're saying, technological nature.
Yeah.
That makes, do you know what? Can I say something? I hate to big up the Somcast, no, I don't hate to big up the Somcast. Let's big up the Somcast.
Yes, be proud.
I've had loads of messages from people saying that they listen to it when they're going to bed at night because they feel it's calming and the nature sounds. On planes, of course, we're on Virgin planes, like people listen when they're flying. And people, when they're on car journeys, I've had a few people messaging say, I can't walk in the morning because of time is a drive to work. I do a walk at lunchtime. When I'm in the car, I listen to the Somcast to feel calm.
It does sound really nice. Because I wondered that. I thought, oh, is it going to... No, it stopped.
Well, it's odd. We must have like a halo of like non-rain around us. I'll stand this side of you.
Okay, that was weird.
This is kind of April... This is what you'd call April showers.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. This is what they call it. God, it is March the 1st. Of course, it's post your pill. Today was the day, always the day, that the dreaded pill was released, by the way.
Oh, I know. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. How does it feel to have it out?
Well, a relief, I'd say, in many ways, but really good. I mean, it's... We started recording it. Sorry, I really have tangented, but that's terrible English as well, isn't it? About a year and a half ago is kind of the idea of, you know, I really want to do something that reach people in a music capacity. Because great music is an amazing way of reaching people about any topic, and mental health especially. And I love spoken word. I think it's got an amazing power of like the poetry, that spoken word attached with the music that takes you through the journey of what you're saying, being really powerful. And we just like had this crazy idea, like, let's speak to Universal. And then it just kind of happened. I wrote The Dreaded Pill.
Cool.
And if anyone hasn't heard it or heard of it, you can listen to it now. But essentially, it's talking through my journey of being in a very dark and difficult place and then getting through, you know, yes, through medication, but the kind of the medication is also a bit of a metaphor for anything that gets you through in life to a better place. And it's even though it sounds dark, The Dreaded Pill, it's actually very hopeful. And it's all about hope for a better day and light and colour and... in the world. So yeah, it just feels amazing that it's just out there now. And as I've said to the girls, I said to Abby in the car on the way, I kind of don't mind whether 1,000 people listen, 100 people listen, as long as it gets to someone, at least one person who kind of goes, okay, there's hope, like, don't give up. That to me is a huge success. I don't feel any expectation or pressure around it, and that's a beautiful
thing. Good. That's very healthy.
Because you know what it's like with books and stuff like that, you kind of, there's a pressure, you do need your publishers, and you do need to make sure that, yeah, people go and get the book, because, you know, it has to pay for itself and so on.
Yeah.
But, you know, with this, it's kind of like, look, we've done this as a bit of a joint project with Universal. It's kind of cool if we can help some people.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Less pressure. Just let it out there. And by the way, if you want to use it, you can use it as a sound on your reel, people. If you're making any reels, you can click on the Dreaded Pill or search it as a sound and use it. That really helps me actually get it out to people.
Well, I've already seen a few people using it on their reels.
Awesome.
So I think it's probably just going to take on a life of its own.
Well, I hope, you know, it'd be nice if people do, because... I think sometimes promotion, people feel like weird about saying it, but like I really want people to find a benefit from it. I want it to help people. And as I said, if it's 1,000 people or whatever, but if it gets to some people and it helps them, why not? So yeah, if you fancy using, if you're listening and you're a creator, whether you've got 100 followers or 100,000 followers, why not? You never know, might hear that sound and, you know, it might be a difference for them to get help. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Getting help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we went on a massive tangent there. Let's go back to your media days.
Oh, right, my media days.
Because I was just saying about like how it's very different, but there is a lot of mental health attached to media in lots of different ways. We hear about it with like television and stuff. But yeah, I mean, did you kind of see within that kind of corporate space or the workspace, did you see a lot of people struggling that kind of needed therapy, you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, me personally, you know, I was like, I was burning out in that career, and I was a people pleaser, and I had like a massive lack of boundaries, and I was just kind of living in quite a fight or flight state. And that, you know, that wasn't necessarily to do with the job. I think it was years of unprocessed stress. But I think that I do see this like kind of hyperactivity and productivity anxiety that often goes on in the corporate space, where it is difficult to set boundaries and it is difficult to find work-life balance. You know, I think some ways, for some people, the pandemic like really helped with that. And people started working from home and had a bit more time for themselves and
maybe
a bit more balance.
Asking themselves these questions, I guess. Because interesting, because I obviously didn't know you then, but knowing you now, you seem just a really calm energy, like a calm person.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like a sense of real calm. And you get that feeling sometimes when people are just, you know, you can feel that there's a lot going on there or whatever, not so there isn't, but you're you do feel just very calm. I don't know how else to put it. Do you notice that and do you compare that to before?
I definitely feel very different to how I did like 15 years ago. I was kind of addicted to my own adrenaline, I think, you know, just running around all the time and, you know, it didn't feel good. And now, you know, I'm not doing it perfectly, but I would say I have like reclaimed my authenticity and I've started to prioritize my own needs and have a better work-life balance and boundaries. And it does make me feel a lot better. And I really want other people to be able to make those changes. And obviously I'm a therapist and I see clients, but I don't think that you should have to pay for expensive therapy to understand some of these
principles,
techniques and tools and principles. Yeah, exactly. Which is why I started sharing information on social media and why I've written this book, because there are ways we can make these changes.
That's exactly why, you know, my passion point is that, this is why teaching at school is really important. I understand, you know, you can't burden teachers. We do actually need to create, you know, capacity and resource for this. But it is a benefit to teach about mental fitness and health at school, because actually if you teach and you instill this stuff as people are growing up, then you can prevent so much struggle and pain, can't you? And just better, for people in better positions to avoid some of this starting, or perhaps nip some things in the bud before they become really ingrained, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people think that you have to go to therapy when you're in a crisis, you know, but actually you don't. You can go to therapy to just explore yourself and start making small changes and just understand, you know, developing emotional intelligence is such a protective factor against a lot of these issues.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, let's chat a bit about reparenting, shall we? I love this phrase. You know, you've got really great phrases and ways of capturing things. And I think it's really helpful when you're trying to remember a concept to have something that you can like, oh yeah, like it was called this, or is a way that you can kind of bring your mind back to that kind of point. Perhaps you can share, what is reparenting? What does that mean, and how do you start?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny word, really. But I suppose in an ideal world, our childhood was a place where we received all of the physical and emotional nourishment that we needed to like develop into healthy, well-rounded people. A lot of us didn't get all of our needs met in childhood, and that might have been to do with our parents' own unresolved emotional wounds, or because of financial stress or mental illness or addiction. And obviously our childhoods, they're over now and we can't go back and change them, but we can heal our wounds and give ourselves some of the things that we didn't get in childhood. And this is this idea of reparenting is just about recognizing the unmet needs from our childhood and giving ourselves those things today. It's becoming a kind parent to yourself and relearning to love and care and protect yourself. And, you know, there's no like particular linear steps that you have to take to reparent yourself. It's actually about small daily actions that you can take that fall into three categories that I've identified, which is nurturing, self-protection, and play. And so nurturing is about how we can take care of our physical and emotional needs. And if we think about our emotional needs, like a lot of us grew up being taught to deny our feelings or ignore them.
Stoicism or whatever.
Yeah, and so we need to kind of relearn how to identify and validate our feelings. And, you know, I think a lot of parents, they deny their children's feelings because they think it's the right thing to do. So, you know, we all want our children to be happy. And sometimes parents can maybe try and distract a child from their sadness or pretend not to notice when they're angry because they think it's the right thing to do. But then that can leave a child feeling really unseen and unknown and like their feelings don't matter. And so as adults, sometimes we have to like actively identify and validate our feelings by saying to ourselves, like, it's okay that I feel sad today, or it's natural to feel anxious, or it's understandable that I'm angry. And that can be really healing to like your inner child that didn't get that kind of emotional validation.
And so should you, when you're doing this, should you imagine you're speaking to an inner child, your inner child? Like, how do you kind of narrate that with yourself?
Well, you can. I mean, some people really hate the idea of the inner child, and it sounds really woo-woo and weird to some people. And I get that. But some people find it really powerful to imagine, like, a little you. And, you know, I've had some clients who will find an old picture from when they were a child and have that somewhere in their bedroom. And they'll look at it, and actually sometimes you can be a lot more self-compassionate when you're thinking about that little you rather than the adult you.
Even in the sense of sometimes we berate ourselves and we're so annoyed at ourselves, then we forget that we were once a child.
Yeah.
We were once a little person, and we probably expect too much of ourselves a lot of the time, to be honest.
Yes,
I think
massively.
We seem to treat ourselves like, robots, like going back to that point almost at the start, it's expecting yourself to always be perfect and infallible and never make mistakes. One of my pet's hates, I think, of, well, it's not a pet hate, that makes it too casual. And one of my things I really don't like is that in modern society we hold people to such a high level of perfection, and people can't make mistakes. People can't even do things that are wrong and learn from them and move on. It's,
do you mean like surreal. Cancel culture?
I think, all of it. I mean, that's an extreme of it, but I think all of it, this kind of, people often judge others in ways they wouldn't want to be judged themselves, and often from a position of perfection. But like my grandmother used to say, is that, you know, those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And as far as I'm concerned, we're all human. We're all in glass houses. No one's perfect. So just be careful with the judgment, because often you never know. It might be you that in the future has made that mistake or whatever. And I also think there's an element that sometimes when we're judging others quite harshly, it's actually because we're mirroring and we're projecting, right? We're projecting from our own sense of frustration with things and failures.
Like, where we judge people is normally where we have the most insecurity.
There's something within that makes us feel uncomfortable, whether that's around failure or whatever it might be. It's a very interesting one. I think you can be by being more compassionate to others, in a way, you can actually be more compassionate to yourself. By judging others less, you judge yourself less.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you are judging others and expecting them to be perfect and never to do things wrong, never to make mistakes, never to make bad decisions, then you're basically saying that you are holding yourself by that
same
level of account, which is just impossible.
Yeah, I mean, we think of perfectionism as just about holding ourselves to unrealistically high standards, but often it involves doing that to other people, and that can be really damaging to relationships and to your own sort of self-esteem.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that space is that. I hope we move to that, to a bit more compassion, but I don't know whether we will. That's a bit of a societal thing that is a real challenge, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, and then, you know, the self-compassion towards yourself, you know, through this reparenting, you know, we've looked at the kind of emotional nurturing that we can do, but there's also a self-care piece in there, which, you know, we all know what self-care is. You know, we all know that we need to kind of eat well, exercise, drink enough water, get enough sleep. And a lot of adults will say to me, like, yeah, my self-care is good enough. And automatically think that, you know, maybe there's not much room for improvement. But I would say there always is a bit of room for improvement. But also I would say a lot of people kind of feel as though that they have to earn self-care through working hard or doing things to others. But part of reparenting ourselves is recognizing that we don't have to earn self-care. It's unconditional, and there aren't certain things that we need to do to be deserving of it. It's a daily thing.
And it's kind of, it reminds me of a conversation with Rongan Chatterjee. He came on the Stompcast a few weeks ago, and he was saying that often as well, people people, when they think of self-care, they go to their favourite form of self-care and do that to a bit of a higher percentage. So if they're, they're really good at exercise, you know, that might be one of your things. You'll go to that because it's what's comfortable, but actually the thing you need to work on was your sleep.
Yes.
Or your rest. Oh, or actually the self-care you needed was rest, but you just go straight to the gym. Yeah. You know, like for me, it's the rest one. That's why I naturally will go to the other things. It's the rest I need to sort out. So it's just it's worth, I think, you know, when everything, you know, you're good at it, and that's brilliant that you have those things, fantastic, and it's not a negative at all, but just be aware, I think, that the tendency to go to what we know and what we enjoy, you know, those different pots that you need to kind of, or cups you need to top up, if rest is the thing that you move away from often, or you often go and do other things, maybe work on that area that you could do a bit more improvement. Yeah. There's no point optimising something at 98%.
Yeah.
Go from 60% to 80% in something else.
Exactly, yeah. And I think rest is such a common one that people struggle to prioritise, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so the other one you were saying about was fun. Play, right?
Yeah. Play. So play is a really important part of reparenting ourselves. And play is just a purposeless activity that brings about pleasure and joy. So it's doing something just for the sake of doing it, not for like winning or achieving something. So, you know, that could be painting, making music, art, jigsaws, building a snowman, like anything, you know, it's going on a bike ride for the sheer joy of it, not because you're burning calories. And as adults, we do not make enough time for play. Because we think it's not productive, it's silly, it's a waste of time. But actually, there's loads of research showing how play can be so healing for our nervous system and great for our mental health.
And as Ali Abdaal was saying when he was on the Stompcast just a couple of weeks ago, yes, if you are thinking about work and things like that, play is great for productivity.
Yes.
When we nurture play, we actually become more creative beings. We become more enriched in our lives, and every part of you benefits, right?
Yeah.
We're going underneath the tunnel again. Oh my God, and the train's coming. Try not to bang your head. I'm very impressed with the gentleman cycling underneath.
I know.
Gentleman just cycling underneath.
I've done that before and I do not like it.
The thing is, the stakes are high, because if you lift your head just a little bit, you really are going to get a sore head.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a cottage in Wales. And as a man that, I grew up very much as a teenager, 15, 16, I was higher than the door frames. So I have a lot of bangs on my head to prove how painful that can be. So play is a cup, then perhaps we need to top up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think loads of us struggle with play, and I think it's quite interesting to sort of think about our relationship with play and where it came from, because, you know, some people might have, as a child, had their kind of creativity dismissed in favour of grades, or they might have not had parents that played with them, and they may feel like playing is childish, or it's just about winning. Or even some people grown up with parents who prioritised play and pleasure over adult responsibilities, and then play can be something that's quite scary or feel reckless. So it's worth kind of investigating what your relationship with play is like, and then trying to really think about what things you genuinely enjoyed. And sometimes a good place to start is to think about what you like doing as a child and see if there's a version of that you could do as an adult. So, you know, if you love playing with Play-Doh, maybe you want to try doing a bit of sculpture.
Yeah.
Or
pottery,
if you,
or whatever, yeah.
If you like...
Well, like painting, you might want to... Well,
yeah.
You would just, yeah, do that
just
as
paint.
An adult. Just paint.
Yeah. Or it doesn't even need to be creative things, you know. There's play in, you know, reliving, like, childhood activities that felt really joyous to you, like watching a Disney film under a blanket, or going for a swim and having a nice snack, like... It's just trying to reconnect with those things that you found really joyful.
Things that you do for the joy, not the outcome, effectively, right?
Exactly.
It's the process, the things that are process-based.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to go, going to play football or something, it's not because you have to be the best on the pitch, you're just playing because actually you are just enjoying the sheer act of playing football and the joy.
That's it, exactly.
And so the final part of reparenting.
Yeah, so the final part of reparenting is self-protection. Mm. Learning to say no and protect ourselves from things that cause us harm, you know, because a lot of people grew up in maybe chaotic or dysfunctional or abusive homes, and they didn't learn how to protect themselves from people or situations or activities that harm them. So maybe they find themselves in a toxic relationship and they don't know how to stand up for themselves when they're being controlled or manipulated. Or they, you know, drink too much alcohol or caffeine or junk food. Or maybe they let themselves get triggered repeatedly by the news or certain people on social media. Or, you know, for me, I used to listen to way too many true crime podcasts before bed until I realised
that. I had a phase of that. Yeah. And it really was giving me nightmares.
Same.
And I was wondering why I was sleeping so badly and just getting really anxious. Yeah. And then I thought, same. I'm actually listening to Case Files. No offence, Case Files.
Case Files, same as me.
Yeah, and just and listening to genuinely awful crimes. I have no idea why I ended up in that rabbit hole. But
yeah, me too.
Have a seat. We are at the end of our, we're getting towards the end of a stomp. We're going to do this final piece. Just sat down. Why not?
Yeah.
What a leisurely
why
thing to
not?
Do. Treat yourself to it. We're all about play and everything. Rest. We're resting.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're in nature and we're resting.
So thinking about what, so effectively what you're saying is thinking like what are the things that we're doing that perhaps are harmful?
Yeah, causing us harm. And, you know, just go through your day and think, well, is there stuff that's causing this a stress response in me? And like for me, it was these podcasts. And I just thought, actually, why? No. Why am I giving myself nightmares? You know, I want to protect myself from that.
So I actually did this and what I removed was news.
Yeah.
I was chronically addicted, and always have, to the news, just absolutely on the button, ABC News headline onto my phone.
Yeah.
I now, people go to me and say, I didn't see that, I didn't know that. And did I need to know? I didn't miss anything, did I? Anything that's really important, someone will tell me.
Yeah.
And if it's in the mental health space, I'll find out about it, I'll know about it, I'm working in that space. So, yeah. Do you need to know everything? Do you actually need to know? And it's not about ignorance, but like ignoring important issues. But do you need to know everything that's going on in the world all of the time? I don't think you do.
I think it can be way too much for people. I mean, obviously, we want to be informed, right? But I would say to people, if you are repeatedly being triggered by the news, pick a couple of like sources that you really trust and set a boundary around when you're going to listen or read about it.
And also, if you need to listen and learn about something, do you need to repeatedly see that over and over and over and over and over again? It's like understanding what happened in, say, 9/11. And then, you know, I don't know, it's a bad example because I actually went out to see the memorial not that long ago. But, you know, if it is something that really triggers you, then going back and actually watching something traumatized, what are you gaining from it?
Yeah.
Are you gaining new knowledge, or are you just exposing yourself something that's just painful that doesn't really help anyone?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's a huge part of reparenting, is learning to protect ourselves from things that harm us.
I love it. Reparenting, we all need to do a bit of that. And it's kind of a way to permission to be a bit kind as a parent. An ideal parent would be kind, compassionate, understanding, gentle.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Yourself
treat
like
yourself
like a toddler. That's what I say.
I love that. Well, shall we do our health fact of the week? Okay, so practicing a self-care routine has been clinically proven to reduce anxiety, depression, stress, and increase your happiness. These small changes can help you adapt to changes, build stronger relationships, and recover from setbacks quicker. So yeah, I guess, you know, from my perspective, I can think it's a lot of what we've talked about, that, you know, self-care isn't just kind of wishy-washy, not just woo-woo. Like, it's the science there. It helps. It helps build mental fitness as well, is a word I like to use quite a lot, because we talk about mental health and often that people equate that to just illness. So we shouldn't just do self-care to prevent illness. You should do self-care to actually feel mentally fitter, more at peace, happier. Like, we often think of like protecting ourselves against the negative side, which is important, like it's been mentioned there in the stats, but also it's also about elevating your life to a better place. You know, we should all want to feel a bit more peace if we can.
Yeah, and do it from a place of compassion, not a place of like punishment, which is what sometimes people do with self-care. It can be coming from a place of criticism, and like it can be hurtful really sometimes, and we can get very anxious about it. But actually, if we do it from a loving place, it's way more effective.
Important, I guess, to just keep an eye on the reason why. Like, what are you doing and why are you doing it? Are you going for a run to feel alive, or and good and happy? Are you going for a run to, you know, burn calories?
Yeah.
You know, the two things are very, very different scenarios. Well, thank you so much for joining me. We've also, I'm very happy that we've myth busted as to what an integrative therapist, they are, kind of said
yeah,
it means. So I'm pleased with that. So if you're listening, make sure you check out Reclaiming You, your therapy toolkit for life's twists and turns. And of course, give a follow on the Instagram. I really like your aesthetics and your graphics and stuff.
Oh,
that was really cool
you.
As well, and your content. So, you know, I think the point you said, you know, a lot of the stuff within therapy, you know, we can actually practice this stuff ourselves and these tools. You know, you don't have to pay always for expensive therapy, although I would say therapy is, for me, it's been worth every penny. It's made a huge difference. You know, if you need it, go and ask for the help, and please do to get that help. Well, best of luck to you with everything, and of course the book as well. Thank you for joining us on the Stompcast. For everyone, again, thank you for joining us. Head over to Behind the Stompcast so we react for 10 or 15 minutes to some of the things we talked about, but also we have quite a lot of fun. Abby will have something to tell us about, I'm sure. She'll have different stories, I don't know. She's always got something to say. Charlie as well, we'll find out what she's up to with her podcast, bit of an update. And yeah, we'll see you all over there. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts for free. Stick around if you enjoy it. Thank you to everyone that does subscribe. And anyway, thank you for joining us today. Look after yourselves. Take care and goodbye.